Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Keke Palmer, and let me tell you, we're kicking off this new year with a whole new mindset. If you're ready for that new year, new mindset energy, you've got to tune in to Baby, This is Keke Palmer. If you're looking for more podcasts to help you tend to your well-being, check out New Year, New Mindset on the Wondery app.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mantelker. Joining me today, Ronnie Karam. Hey, Ronnie, what's going on?
Hi, how are you?
Just fabulous. Just fabulous. It's another day in the life of the podcast. We've had really such a tremendous, tremendous whirlwind week. We are here today to talk Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Tomorrow night, we are in Salt Lake City, and we are so excited. Salt Lake City just won our crappy for best show of the year. And on top of that, Angie Katsanavis won for Best Bravo Celebrity, which was huge. If you want to see that entire ceremony, including Ronnie singing as Dorinda to Sunset Boulevard, be sure to go check out the stream of it, which is available for another 10 days or so. It's on Kizwe. Our website, watchwhatcrappens.com, is where you can get where you can find your link to watch the crappies. I really, really recommend it because once it's gone, it's gone. Also, it's where you can get your tickets for Salt Lake City and then Denver the next day. So tomorrow night in Salt Lake City, we are going to, of course, recap the final episode of the Salt Lake City reunion. I mean, what an honor to do Salt Lake City in Salt Lake City. Last time we were in Salt Lake City, Heather and Meredith and Seth came to our show. So I'm very excited for what may happen tomorrow night. And then on Friday, we are doing Southern Charm. So it's really going to be a great blockbuster way for us to not only end out this week, but end out this pocket of live shows that we have done over the past 3 weeks. So we look forward to seeing everyone there. And thank you to everyone who has come to our shows over the past week and a half, etc. It's been a truly, truly wonderful, wild ride.
Yes. And then after that, in March, we've got a crazy March for touring. We're going to be in Cincinnati, Ohio, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Toronto, Charlotte, North Carolina, Atlanta, Georgia, and Washington, D.C., and Philadelphia. So we've got a lot of dates coming up.
That all in March? So go to Watch Oh, my God. That's going to be great. You know what? Those shows will be amazing because by the end, we're going to be like, from all the traveling, we're just going to be wild on stage. We're I just know we'll be lunatics.
We are.
And we're so happy. All those cities, we have always had great shows in all these places. So we can't wait to see everyone again. So yeah, go check it, get your tickets. And then there's the usual stuff, Patreon, etc. A bonus episode we put up, traders is, we're recapping it went up yesterday, so if you want your traders fix, that's where you find it.
That's where it is, as well as the videos which we are on today. Okay, let's get on to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We open this very special episode, season 14, episode 10. It's called Sweet Home Augusta, and we see a clip. It's a black and white clip, which actually PK's face makes a lot more sense in black and white, doesn't it? He looks like, I don't know, someone who'd be banging Mae West in some bordello or something, some silent picture. And it's 2016, and he's giving a speech to Dorit in front of everybody on a microphone. And he's like, Dorito, my darling, as I stand here tonight welcoming our friends and family, it's not just for Funyun. It's an opportunity to confess publicly. You send Pringles up my spine, and I'll never Cheeto on you. I love you dearly. My dear Dorito.
Also, we've just adopted a golden cheese doodle. I was like, I can't think of any snacks.
I can't wait to have little baby curds together.
Like, Ben, you have 3 seconds to come up with a snack. 2, 1. Ah, don't have it yet. I'm tired. It's rainy in Los Angeles. My brain's not on.
And I can't wait to listen to your word salad for the rest of my... Damn it, I brought salad into this. All right, this marriage is over. I'm done. I'm done. Can't take any more.
Pork rinds, am I right?
So I believe this was the speech that he gave her during some, was it the renewal of their vows, or I don't remember what it was, but I think it was when they were in the J-Lo house and people had to take the golf carts up the hill to get to the house.
Yeah. Is this when they had Boy George hidden behind a curtain, but they told, because it was a surprise, they told everyone there was a black mold situation, which of course you... Why would you not tell anyone that at your party? Of course you're going to tell people you have a black mold situation.
I might be getting my pecan Dorit parties mixed up, but I'm not really sure. But yeah, I will never forget the black mold. So then we see another scene in their bedroom where he's like, you look unbelievable. You look radiant. You look gracious. And she's like, thank you, Piquet. And he's like, I was talking to the Snickers bar, actually. But love your sweater, darling.
And then we see Jagger when he was a toddler and everything. And then Pika's like, Jagger, what do you think, son? Yes or no? And she said, what do you think, Jagger? And Jagger's like, yes. He's like, no, I was asking you about whether I'll have to buy mommy another car. So that's hoping you say no.
I wish Jagger's answer to everything is, Erica sucks. Because that was my favorite Jagger moment in the world. And he's like, you're the villain. He told Erica, you're the villain. God bless his heart, but he's such a cute kid, and I'm so glad he's kind of growing out a PK face, because I remember watching this and being like, that poor thing, what a long road to hoe. But it's all working out for him in the end. So Dorit's getting choked up, and then we see Dorit surprising PK for his birthday, and now it's her turn to make a grand declaration of love, and she's like, PK, you bring so much color, so much purpose to me life, a life that's seemingly impossible to live if you weren't by my side of potatoes. There, I needed to get you to pay attention. So focus.
I never knew someone so pasty could bring so much color to my life, but there you go.
and then the Beverly Beach fashion show.
Yeah, we see all the models and everything. And she's like, my husband, I was just thinking about my husband. And then PK walks in and she's like,
Los Angeles. Imagine walking up and seeing Beverly Beach. So proud.
You're basically corporate. Yes. America, all wrapped right. up in one yes. fabulous human yes. being.
But like this, you know what I mean?
Bubbly. That was one. That was our most current Dorit sound clip when she met Bose.
You're corporate America, wrapped up in one fabulous package.
It's like she's like a car that's about to run through a stop sign and just slamming the brakes. Like, she gets so excited, she slams on her brakes.
So all she's thinking about during Beverly Beach is her husband. You know, the last thing I want to think about when I think about people in bathing suits is your husband. Okay. Keep PK out of this conversation, please. Cover-ups, maybe. Sheets, fine.
Also, I'm like really upset that this random montage, which I don't know why we have this montage right in the middle of the season, but sure. I don't know why this random montage did not feature one of my favorite PK quotes of all time. Punta Cana. That's where you go. Ladies and gentlemen,
Berlin. That's where it's at, babe. Punta
That's where it's at, babe. That's where you go, babe.
Yeah, this was one of those things that's trying to convince us that PK and Dorit have this like whirlwind romance that we're now missing out on. And they never did, guys. I'm sorry. No, but no. I don't know how much money this man convinced Dorit that he had. But every time she's like, all I think about is PK. I'm sorry. I can't buy it.
Neither can PK.
A tub of cottage cheese who owes money to literally, like, if you've never seen a tub of cottage cheese get its knees broken for past debts to the Bellagio, you're in for a treat to eat.
And not even the good cottage cheese, the small curd cottage cheese.
Ew.
Yeah.
5% like, cottage cheese.
Skim cottage cheese, might as well be eating spackle. However, full fat cottage cheese, delicious.
Delightful.
Delicious. Delightful. I love full fat cottage cheese, creamy, wet. I love it. I love everything about it.
Yeah, me too. I'm a cottage cheese fan. I still wouldn't date BK though. Okay, so then we get to the home invasion where Dorit's sobbing outside and BK's like, get over it, babe. Like, seriously, what's wrong with you? And then she's discussing her trauma. And he's like, well, you've been through a really traumatic thing. And you also have a lot of fear that's not rational. For example, every time I come out of the bathroom in my underwear, why do you scream?
Well, that's nothing new, is it?
And then he's like, you know, there are also elements I don't really consider to be PTSD. I consider they're more obnoxious, you know, like, I don't know, telling everyone that I'm a raging alcoholic. Yes, yes, that is what it is, what you are. So
extremely severe.
Alcoholic. Out of control, alcoholic. So then we see a clip of Dorit talking to Kyle saying, I started to feel, is it possible that PK and I would not make it. You know, ever since the supermarkets stopped carrying pickle chips, he's been in a foul mood, and I'm just not sure we're going to go all the way.
Yeah, it was a real shocker that a man who left his family to get with some young blonde chick is now leaving his family. Again, shocker patterns, okay? Pick better. Get a better picker. Now, that said, I like Dorit, and I do feel bad for her, mostly because she's going to be poor now. I mean, she was poor with PK, too, but he had a way of faking it that I don't think she's learned, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now we fast forward to now, and we're at Kathy Hilton's home. And Dorit, Bose, Kathy, and Erica are eating dinner and discussing her divorce. And Bose is like, do you not think he still wants to be married to you? And Dorit is like,
no. No, I don't. And I know this. If I have to go to war, I will go to war. Now, which country will I be fighting for? I'm not sure. It depends on what my accent is that day. But once you get to that headspace, it's not going to be easy to pull back.
And Erica's like, ding, ding, ding. Get out. Get out. So 1 week earlier, we're at Kyle's house. And Kyle's trying to wash one of her gigantic hairy dogs. And she's like, Storm, why do you smell disgusting? Oh, God, Storm, stop running away. I'm like, she wants to hose him off, but she only washed his back. She didn't even wash the sides. Girl, just hire somebody. You're rich as hell.
Yeah, hire someone or, like, give the dogs to someone who knows how to take care of these things. These dogs are always running away from her. They're totally out of control. They eat everything inside. Like, look, I know dogs. Yes, yes, dogs eat everything. But these dogs are particularly out of control. And she always is acting like it's so charming. Remember when they went to, like, Palm Springs or La Quinta or something and that dog was just eating everyone's sandwiches? That is not charming. Like, get your dog to finishing dog school, okay? Because you don't know how to control your dogs. And now you got this dog with a soapy bag running around everywhere. Like, you're not a dog. You were not equipped for dogs. You were not a dog person. I know dog people. I see Ronnie. I see other friends. They know how to deal with dogs. But your dogs keep running away from you because they know you're not their people. So, like, just give it up, okay? We get it. Like, you're not, okay, you did the Lisa Vanderpump thing. You did the swings. You got the dogs. You tried everything, okay? You became friends with PK over Dorit. You did the Lisa Vanderpump thing. It's over, okay? Let's take down. Just go into your foyer and stare at your neon art and call it a day.
Go work on your salmon. That's what I say.
So, yes, actually work on the salmon. You definitely need to work on that, yeah.
So now we go to Martin Lawrence Blonde Fabrics. And Erica's with Martin Lawrence. And he's like, your total for this is 37,000 individually wrapped bell peppers from Fresh and Easy.
Oh, I've been storing them in my freezer. I hope that wasn't too much of a shock for you. Okay, now I enjoyed the little Dorit, the history of Dorit and PK montage that we had at the top of this episode for no good reason. But I think I would have liked some of that time dedicated to more Martin Lawrence Ballard. Like, how are we just relegating him to this little clip? We need, like, full scenes of him every episode.
Yeah, I need more of him as well. And she's like, well, that's real expensive, but I got the money. It's not like I got to hook on Sunset for it or nothing.
He's like, ooh. Well, I also bought you some wallpaper from Inja, and it's going to cost you $45,000 extra. Sharon Osbourne recommended it. Ooh.
And then we go over to Kathy's house, and she has an IV strapped to her, and she's calling Bose, and there's a woman, you know, puffing her arms, rubbing lotion all over her. There's another woman doing her nails, another woman doing her hair, another one pulling her head back with a chip clip just to keep the forehead up. I mean, the woman has everything. I was trying to add up, how much does this cost? How many people could you feed? How many of Kyle's dogs could you rescue with that money?
Yeah. Every time we like this, every season, like Kathy's doing something else. Like one season, it's Kathy lying in bed with a big box fan. But this season, it's like Kathy in her like cryogenic chamber being like resuscitated. Like watching her like daily maintenance in that chair is so fascinating to me. It feels like some sort of like Cronenberg, like sci-fi gross out, you know?
And it's just more and more every time. I mean, she's going to eventually just have one of those full like car washing machines, you know, where the big things come out and like, and then a little squeegee comes down and starts working on her face. I mean, by the end, she's just going to be ahead, you know, and she's going to be like in a bowling ball sack that they're just polishing.
Hello, boys. It's me, Kathy Hilton.
I fully can imagine Kathy Hilton just like plopping down her chair in a car wash and just going through it. Like everything you just said, like the things flapping at her face and then the metal thing at the end, that's like right up her head. She's like, okay, that got rid of all the dead cells.
Yeah. Just, you know, take her out back, vacuum her off, call it a day.
Hang a little pine tree on her and send her off.
Why do I smell like coconuts? It's like the pina colada smell. So she's having a party, a little dinner party, and she's inviting Bose. And she's like, so what are you wearing around your neck? Are those puka shells? Are they pearls? What's going on there, dear? And she's like, these are diamonds, honey.
And then we go over to Sutton's house, and Garcelle is there. And they're just saying hi and everything. And just talk about their clothing. There's a lot of highs you have to sort of wade through. Sutton's goes, well, I want to see if maybe you would come with me to Augusta and meet my mother. And Garcelle's like, oh my God, Reba, this monster of a woman that created you. It'd be my honor to say to her, no.
No.
No, Reba.
And miss the opportunity to see the ground zero of your emotional terrorism? No. I'll be there.
I'm a little nervous about your mom, but other than that, I'm really good. She goes, well, now listen, I love my mother, but she's very difficult. Yes, Sutton, we see how you turned out. We understand. You don't have to say that part out loud.
My mother and I have sort of found ourselves in a bad place in the past 10 years. And then we see a picture of Sutton and Reba embracing, but then we see a flashback where she's crying and she's saying, I know my mother loves Christian. She says that, but does she love me? She loves Christian's money. You know, I love Christian's money. I don't even fucking know the guy and I choose him over you. I mean, what do you have? A cute dog. Well, I'd take your dog. You've got Ari and an empty house. I will take Christian's money any damn day of the week, okay? Shit, I'd take Christian's money over half the people I know.
I have been resentful about my mother's praise on Christian even after we were divorced. Oh, did you see Christian did this in the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times? And I'm like, yeah, but do you remember my store in West Hollywood? Give me some praise. Well, okay. Okay. I am not going to take away from you, Sutton, that your mom is very difficult and your mom should be praising you and giving you love. But like when someone does something that's in the Wall Street Journal, like I do think it's like slightly more impressive than like the little boutique you opened up Almont.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, sir. No, sir. That is your mother taking the side of the fucking man. Oh, hell no.
Saying in general, like I feel like it's like, this was when they were married, though, right? Or no. Oh, no. The store came afterwards.
No, the mom's still bragging about his ass. She's like, hey, honey, you know what Sutton really should have done if she was smart and she really needed validation from her mother is just name the store Christian, because then her mother would be like, oh, my God, Christian's doing so well.
You know, Christian is such a success. And Sutton was like, oh my God, thank you so much, mother.
Well, listen, it's shitty that the mom is even talking about Christian to Sutton, but there was something about Sutton saying this that felt like she was like, the implication was that like her store in West Hollywood was like as oppressive as like these giant whatever things are happening. So like, I just thought it was funny also because like, I just feel like Sutton just shows up to the store for the show and then she like does her scene and then goes home. Like, I think that Sutton's stronger case would be like, yeah, did you see me at BravoCon? Did you see the fact that I have lines of fans outside the, you know, like lining up for me at BravoCon, like signing autographs and I'm famous now and I'm on TV. Like, that's a stronger case than like, did you see my store? It's Hollywood.
I don't know, because the mom seems attached to material things. So I think she would get a store, whereas the BravoCon thing, I think, would make her throw up. I think she's probably so mortified that her daughter is on The Real Housewives, you know?
That's probably
true. She just seems like that kind of snob who's like, we are private people, Sutton. Private people. Private dancers. Dancers for money. Do what you want me to do.
Want me to do.
Yeah. I mean, you buy one plantation house for a woman and she's yours forever. Jesus Christ, Reba.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Welcome to The Offensive Line. You guys, on this podcast, we're going to make some picks, talk some shit, and hopefully make you some money in the process. I'm your host, Annie Hagar. So here's how this show's going to work, okay? We're going to run through the weekly slate of NFL and college football matchups, breaking them down into very serious categories like no offense. No offense, Travis Kelce, but you got to step up your game if Pat Mahomes is saying the Chiefs need to have more fun this year. We're also handing out a series of awards and making picks for the top storylines surrounding the world of football. Awards like the He May Have a Point Award for the wide receiver that's most justifiably bitter. Is it Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, or Devontae Adams? Plus, on Thursdays, we're doing an exclusive bonus episode on Wondery Plus, where I share my fantasy football picks ahead of Thursday Night Football and the weekend's matchups. Your fantasy league is as good as locked in. Follow The Offensive Line on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can access bonus episodes and listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
UFO lands in Suffolk, and that's official, said the News of the World. But what really happened across two nights in December 1980 when US servicemen saw mysterious lights in the forest near RAF Woodbridge and claimed to have had a close encounter with an actual craft?
Encounters, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, takes a deep dive into one of the most famous and still unresolved UFO encounters to ever take place in the UK, featuring shocking testimony from first-hand witnesses, hosts, journalist, podcaster and UFO researcher Andy McGrillan, that's me, and producer L. Scott, take us back to the nights in question and examine all of the evidence and conflicting theories about what was encountered in the middle of a snowy Suffolk forest 40 years ago.
Are we alone? Encounters is a podcast which is going to find out. Listen to Encounters exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or in Apple Podcasts.
So then Sutton's like, well, I'm going to see my mother and I thought you might want to join us. And she's telling Kyle now. And Kyle's like, me? You want me to come? I'm going to come to see you. She's like, yes, Kyle, just please don't bring a dog. Okay.
Yeah. It's sort of surprising that Sutton is bringing Kyle, but I think it's A, she wants to flex and show this big house that she has down in Georgia, and B, she's in a fight ultimately with Dorit, so she has to unfortunately be on Kyle's side, so this is who she's got. But where, or and C, Jennifer Tilly must have been busy, because this was clearly a Jennifer Tilly slot that Kyle took up.
Or her mother's just like, not that Jennifer girl. I swear to God, if you bring that Jennifer girl, because you know Jennifer is like, oh my God, what a lovely doll that you've got here. What's her name? Reba. Put some champagne in her hands. Hey, hit her on the head with this purse that's shaped like a boat. Dolls love the, ow, that, get that little mongrel out of my house.
I really love your asymmetrical hairline, that those bangs. They're very much like Glenn Close in that horror movie. I thought you looked fabulous in that. Was that character based off of you?
Never have her back here.
Reba, I'd love to show you one of the films I've starred in. It's called Bound.
That's, there it is. That's what, that's that was the moment where Jennifer Tilly was uninvited. Well, I'm going to see this. I want to see what sort of feature films this Oscar-nominated actress was in. Okay, this one. Child's Play. I don't approve. Okay, Bound. This one's more critically acclaimed. Yeah, she's not invited anymore.
Sutton's like, it's so fun, Augusta. I mean, it's a special place. I even have a porch. So we can just sit on the porch and we can use the BB gun Daddy bought me to shoot maids as they go home from work. Great times. Great times.
Yeah, I love Augusta. They've got a tiny little airport, which we'll get to. But when she brags about how she loves that the airport's so small, I've never heard anyone ever say that. Well, we all like a small airport like Burbank Airport that you can go in and out of. But when they get too small, that's not good. I hate a teeny tiny airport because then you go, because you have to still get there at the same amount of time as a regular airport, but you don't have any amenities. You're just sitting there in like a plastic chair, like uncomfortable for 90 minutes.
Yeah, there's nothing to eat there. Like the El Paso, Texas. That's where I'm from. And I love their airport. It's small-ish. It's gotten a little bit bigger over the years, but they have a knife shop. You know, there's like tacos and knife shops.
What? They have a knife shop in the airport?
What happened? You can get your turquoise. You can get a knife. It's like 9/11 never happened.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
it's wild.
Oh, gosh. So where are we here?
She's like, well, Garcelle and Kyle, they're the perfect women to take with me because basically both of their mothers have passed. And I can say, well, what's worse? This one's still living.
Sorry, that's so dark. But I did think that was a little odd. And actually, I didn't think of it until I read it in a comment on Reddit where they were like, she was like, why would they be the perfect ones to take when their mothers have both passed? It's just such an odd choice. You know what I mean? Because when you complain about your mother, and I've made this mistake before, because, you know, my mother and I complaining about each other is our pastime. That's just what we do. It's in our DNA. My grandmother was the same way. And that's just how we love. You know, we bitch about each other behind each other's back and to each other's face, to be fair. But you're not supposed to do that in front of people who have lost their parents. Like, it's so disrespectful. And so it's weird that she's like, you know what? I'm going to take two of the people who have suffered the worst loss that a child could suffer to meet my mother. And let's see who's got it worse. Okay, come on.
Well, I have to assume that she was thinking, you know, they have not had any sort of like motherly, they haven't had motherly energy in their life recently. And so this way they can remember what it's like. Sometimes people do that, but it's weird to do that with Reba when Sutton's like, she's tough. She doesn't love me. She loves my ex. She actually doesn't even remember my name. Anyway, I'm going to introduce her to my friends and they can get her maternal instincts.
I can kind of understand the Kyle choice because Kyle's mother was a battle axe too, from everything that we've read about her. So it might be a fun competition to be like, well, my mother loves my husband more than me. And Kyle could be like, well, my mother loved Justine Bateman more than me. So who wins? Well, my mother once tried to poison one of my ex-boyfriends. Really? Because my mother fed nails to one of her ex-husbands to try and kill him. So
I think for Kyle, it's purely just a flex. Like, look, Kyle, I'm going to show you just a side house I happen to have that has columns. It costs, like, wait, how much do these columns cost? So
let me show you one of these houses, how they were originally built. Kyle. Okay. So you have the Universal Studios version of my house. Okay.
That's because I was in Halloween. Oh, I'm a working actress. Oh, I was on ER. Mention,
we didn't even have to pay anybody to build mine.
Yeah, exactly. So Garcelle is like, she's like, well, you want to be gentle. She is 82 after all. And someone goes, wait till you meet her. She does not need to be treated with kid gloves. More like a one of those electric prods that treated the velociraptors within Jurassic Park.
Let me tell you, I've known a lot of people who have met Reba, but there hadn't been one of them that didn't feel like Newman in Jurassic Park. When that woman met their gaze.
She'll spit on you. So Kyle's like, yeah, she's not giving me feeble vibes. It's, oh, no, she's not feeble. She is not. She is not feeble, Bryson. So Kyle is like, she's like, well, we best get to work. I'll bring some psychology books. So they all laugh. And now we go to Dorit's house. And Bose comes over. And Bo's like, hello, my darling, we're matching. And guess what? I invented matching. You're welcome. She said, well, you're such a vision. Okay, let's sit down, girl, because we need to talk. So this is Winnie. Who is this one? This dog over here. That's Pumpkin. Winnie, Pumpkin, I don't care. I don't like either one of them. So we had so much fun at the beach. Do you want to talk about how much fun you had at the beach?
And so we see fun times at the beach. And then we come back and we see the flashback of Dorit saying, this morning, Jigar said, are you and Daddy divorced? There's no sour cream and onion chips in the pantry. Does that mean Daddy's not coming home? Because usually that's his bat signal that it's free to come home. He can smell them from London. It's crazy.
Normally, if I just put some Rotel and Velveeta in the microwave, he suddenly appears in the doorway.
It's like saying Beetlejuice three times.
Rotel, so. Rotel, Rotel.
Maybe calling me.
So Dorit's like, well, you know, that day, sudden, the way she came in, it was like so abruptly. She just shut me down. But honestly, shut up sometimes. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm Team Garcelle on this one. Just brevity. You know what I mean? Make it shorter, sister.
You have a whole van. You have a whole van ride, a Sprinter. You're going to be able to tell the whole story. Yeah. So
you've got to ride to Ventura County to talk about PK. For Christ's sake. Do we have to do it during charcuterie? Just let me eat my goddamn sandwich, woman.
Yeah. I mean, were they at Dorit's? It doesn't matter. So Bose is like, well, did you call PK? Did you tell him? And Dorit says,
well, what Jagger said, I sent him a long text. I said, I know you're coming back from London soon, and I think it's really a good idea for us to get to a more friendly place, you know, for the kids, and it will be easier for them. And then I never heard back from him. So then a day later, I wrote back, and I said, no response, PK? Really? No response?
And then he writes back, I'm at your friend's wedding. Have a nice day. Have a nice day. Well, when did I become the enemy? Oh, gosh. 2 years ago? I think 2 years. I mean, it's been like 2 years that he's hated her, right?
Yeah, it's probably been longer. So she says, I haven't heard a single word from PK since he stormed out of the office when I ran out of popcorn. And then we were in therapy and he did that again. And I mean, I said, PK, you're not allowed to bring popcorn to therapy. And he screamed and he left there too. He said he wanted a divorce.
But then he came back and got his popcorn. He said, one person I'll never divorce, popcorn. Where?
I knew I should have never made back in a jiffy.
He was talking to the corn.
I knew I never should have made some kettle corn while he was gone at the therapist's office. The strange instinct. Just instinct now when you're married to him.
Well, listen, so, here's my concern. You need to be prepared because his return from London, it could go left. It could go right. It could go up. It could go down. You know what I mean? That's what we say in business.
Yes, it's like him trying to stay in a lane. He could go left or to go right, you know? It's hard with his car. So she says, like, yes, and then he could serve papers. And Bose goes, oh, girl, what happens? I think about it all the time, him serving papers. I don't want to eat papers. Why would he serve me that?
So then we go to Bose and Keely arriving at Boulevard Steakhouse, or as I like to call it, Boulevard. And so they're going to have some dinner. And this is her date, Keely. Now, I do not get the best vibes from this guy. Like, look, want Bose to be happy. This is not the guy for you. I hate a shirt. Let's just start with the shirt. Hate it. Cheetah print. Nope. I hate his whole tacky, cheesy vibe with her. I hate that he wants her to have three children at 48. That's fucking crazy, sir. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, you're old too. Just stop it, Al Pacino. Nobody wants your babies running around this old. And no offense, because people can have babies that age. I know that, and good for you. But just dating someone and being like, here's what I expect from you. Three children. Have fun. No.
Did he say that? Did he say that when they went on their date on the beach that he wants three children?
I think he said he wants three children. Yeah, that's in my memory. Well, he wanted three.
So. Well, He better hurry up because she's like, I am in my late 40s. So they're sitting down. They talk. They talk about relationships and timelines. And she's like, trying to find somebody to connect with in LA in your late 40s. Ah, damn near impossible. So I appreciate my relationship with Keely. We are in our love bubble. Everything is fantastic. We are definitely a goo goo, a gaga, a boo boo, and a baba. Lala, Lila, left, right, left.
She's like, all right, we need to have some conversations. It feels like we're hurdling some things, you know, if we go all the way to fertility. And he's like, well, at what point did you feel I was wasting your time? Because I'm not going to say I'm going to waste your time. I'm not saying that. And she's like, and he goes, do you feel that there's a timeline? She's like, well, I mean, I'm 47. Where are the eggs? They're getting older. I have old eggs, and babies don't grow on trees. We've got to get moving, all right?
Tick-tock. The egg shortage is not just at the supermarket, so let's get this going, all right? Get out of San Diego and come up to L.A. I'll say that's where probably she feels like you're wasting time because you're still in San Diego, so that would be the first good move would be come up to Hollywood. And she says, well, you know, if I want to carry a baby myself, I don't have a lot of time to do that. And then I don't want to be out of wedlock. And he's like, yeah, I know. I mean, we're on the same page. You know, I think you're an incredible woman. And I love the fact that you're not pressuring me into anything. If I'm not pressuring you into anything, I'm failing my job. Put a baby in me.
No kidding. Like, shit or get off the pot. You know what I mean? And she's basically telling him that. She's like, if you want babies, we got to get married first. So what's up? And he's like, oh, thanks so much for not pressuring me. This dinner is over. Bye.
I would leave. The next thing that comes to this table better be a baby or the check.
Yeah. I mean, I really like her. I think she's wasting her time with this fucking loser. I get very clear loser vibes from this guy.
Yeah. So now we go over to the Oak Tree Gun Club and shooting range, which is open to the public. And it's a shooting range. And so Kyle is there with Mauricio because he wants her to be equipped with a gun, know how to use a gun ever since. Because for some reason, it's been 7 years, but suddenly they've decided that it's time for Kyle to be better with home security. I guess maybe because she's on her own now. So yeah. It's been 7 years since they had their home invasion. Honestly, okay, I know gun control, guns, gun rights, all this stuff is a very, you know, controversial topic. People are very divided in this. You know, I have my own views, which I, you know, other people have their own views. But I think one thing that we can all agree on, like, yes, the Second Amendment says we have the right to bear arms, but I think there should be an amendment to the amendment that says, but maybe not Kyle. Because I guess what? I don't see anything good about Kyle having a gun. Kyle Richards with a gun in the middle of the night, that is just not going to end well for anyone. Let's ratify this Constitution and just say, right to bear arms except Kyle Richards.
Yeah, and you know, there should be certain laws. Like, we know that there are laws regarding guns, and there should be a special law to not be able to have a gun when there could possibly be a Kim around the house. Yeah, that's it.
Oh gosh, Kyle with those big dogs running around startling her. I mean, she gets startled by everything that moves. I mean, first of all, just for bird safety, she shouldn't have a gun. Okay.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Those birds are about to fuck around and find out with Kyle and her little, you know, magnum. So, but she's there to learn how to shoot.
Also, this is such a Kyle scene because she's like, look at me. First of all, she's having some weird scene where she's kind of flirting with Mo. It's like, this, like, poor me. Mo doesn't like me anymore. So she's giving that vibe in the scene, but she's also dressed like she's flirting with Morgan and going to a gun range.
I mean, yeah.
Not to be stereotypical, but we never really saw Kyle dressing in this, like, tough girl manner until she started dating Morgan, or allegedly dating Morgan. And so that's kind of weird. It's like she's flirting with the ex-girlfriend if she was dumped and if they were dating. Fucking Kyle stories. I can't take them. And yeah, so she's got the Mauricio thing. And then she's like, look at me, just a girl. I mean, guns, girls. Yeah. I mean, maybe girls should learn to use guns, but she clearly knows how to use that gun. I mean, you see her use the gun. I'm like, damn, you know how to shoot a gun, girl. That's not like easy. Bullseye. This is how I shoot guns. Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's called the recoil, idiot. I'm like, oh, God, you have to be so strong for one of these. Take me home. And Kyle's like, boom, 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 boom. Their hands.
She had to learn for Halloween. You know, I thought this whole scene was annoying because, first of all, it felt like two midlife crises colliding. You described Kyle's perfectly. And then you have Mauricio, who's like, yeah, I'm like single and midlife crisis. So he's being like all tough. He's got his tight t-shirt on. And he does this thing later on in the scene where he, like, for some reason feels like he needs to climb over the fence and then do the rest of the scene from behind the fence of the shooting range.
Oh,
like,
so you didn't see why? because
was he hiding something?
He sat up on the table, right, to talk to Kyle, and then she jumped up on the table next to him, and he immediately jumped off the table and jumped to the other side. So I think he's got a girlfriend that he doesn't want to see him. Right.
Well, they're both fucking idiots.
Getting close with his ex.
I don't want to see either of it. Why don't they just stand there like two normal people? Why do they both have to sit on the fence? And like, why are you on the other side of the fence? That's like, you're not supposed to do that. You're at a shooting range. Okay. And it just had this annoying bravado. And Kyle's like, well, if I'm going to defend myself, I hope I look like a badass. And like, I hate that. I hate like associating like shooting a gun off with being a badass. I think that's such a terrible thing.
Welcome to America.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem.
You're going to have to skip like 80% of movies then.
I know, but I just feel like defend yourself, fine, but like, I don't think it makes you look like a badass. But either way, it just, everything annoyed me about the scene. But the thing that annoyed me the most was that we had to sit through an entire scene with guns going off the entire time. They were like, I'm trying to have a conversation. I was like, pew, 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 pew. I'm like, could we have for once moved in? Like every scene on Bravo, they always start someplace. And they're like, let's go inside where it's shadier. And like, this is the one time they decided not to move locations and we had to hear gunshots the entire scene. The audio department must have been losing their mind.
It reminded me of when that Peggy chick, Peggy Tanis, which was the one who went on and her first scene was like shooting guns at the gun range with all her tats and her big boobs. Was that like?
I think that was Peggy Tanis. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Peggy Tanis. It kind of reminded, I was like, wow, Kyle's going down to Peggy Tanis levels. Well,
yeah. Yep. There
we
go.
Glad to be here for it. So they go to the shooting range and I love that the shooting range guy's like, so why are you here at the range? For a fucking muffin lunch, you idiot. What do you think I'm here for? Let's shoot some fucking guns. Less questions, seriously. More badassery. Bring me the gun, bitch.
So they shoot the guns off and everything. And then Mo's like, oh, yeah, now I'm going to shoot my gun. Yeah, because I'm in a midlife crisis. Okay. So then he's shooting his gun.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you know that Dorit and PK, at the very least, was like cringing at this, watching it at home. Because the guy goes, all right, now here's how you get the magazine in. Slap it like it owes you money.
I've been slapped quite a bit by boy George.
Bellagio babe. Slaps her, babe.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl Keke Palmer, and let me tell you, we're kicking off this new year with a whole new mindset. You know how everyone's all about new year, new me? Well, on Baby, This is Keke Palmer, we're taking it to a whole other level. We're talking new year, new perspectives. And honey, it's going to change your life. I sat down with astrology queen, Chani Nicholas. Y'all, if you want to understand yourself better this year, this episode is it. And then there's my chat with the incredible Da Vinci, where nothing was off the table. If you're looking to level up your mindset this year, his words are definitely going to hit different. If you're ready for that new year, new mindset energy, you've got to tune in to Baby, This is Keke Palmer. Catch it on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. And for the full experience, head to my YouTube channel. If you're looking for more podcasts to help you tend to your well-being, check out New Year, New Mindset on the Wondery app. Let's make this year our best one yet, baby.
Everyone out there should listen to Small Town Murder. Yeah. You really should, mainly because you never know who's next door. Oh. And that's the point of this show, really. You never know who is next door. You never know what's going to happen on Small Town Murder. That's what makes it so wonderful. The only thing you do know is that people are going to die.
Yeah.
And we're probably going to make jokes about it. That's it. That's all we can promise you. We dig into these towns. We see what makes them tick, from local legends to scandals they may have had. And of course, the biggest scandals of all, horrible murders that take place there. And we put our, what I feel is a completely appropriate comedic spin on the whole thing. And you know you need a laugh right now. So get in there, listen to Small Town Murder, follow Small Town Murder on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Small Town Murder early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
So They shoot, and then Kyle's like, so, like, how's your condo coming together? And he's like, yeah, it's, like, pretty good. It's, like, it's nice. Like, I've got, like, eggs and, you know, like, a lot of canned soups. And she's like, canned soups? He's like, yeah, I like tomato or, like, whatever. She's like, I didn't even know they made those sort of things. Oh, well, either way, it's really quiet over in our place. Like, there are doors that we don't even know how to open still. And you're, like, in a new place. It just feels new and different from our home. And I'm in, like, the same place. It just feels like it's just, like, different.
They're kind of outdoing each other.
Yeah, you know, and Kyle's trying to
victim each other. He's like, I'm eating tomato soups out of cans and maybe an egg. And she's like, the house is so lonely.
She gets sad and she's going to start to cry. And the implication is that she's home alone and it's sad. But I think she's crying because Mauricio got to get a new place and she didn't get to get a new place. I think that's really what it comes down to.
She even says that at one point. She's like, well, it's not fair. Well, she doesn't say it's not fair, but she's like, I mean, everything's new for you. You have this new place. And then I'm just in the home. I'm in the home where we all lived. Well, you're the one who didn't want to move. And you're also the one that wanted this divorce. Now, here's what's making me crazy about this, as if I haven't said it 9,000 times, because the scene keeps happening in different forms. But it's funny reading online and trying to decipher what people are thinking, because some people are like, oh, he definitely cheated on her. And that's why she left and this and that. And from what she's kind of dropped hints about, it's made it sound like that, but she won't outright say it, which leaves it open to all this speculation, which leads me to believe that she was the cheater there. I'm sorry. Mm. And I'm sure he's probably cheated multiple times over their relationship, but I think going on Instagram and hooking up with some girl that she liked is what she accused him of. And I just feel like she's a cheater, because I feel like if he was a cheater, she'd 100% be throwing him under the bus instead of just hinting and trying to make us believe it.
Mm, yeah.
I don't know. So I don't know what it is. And where is Morgan? Did Morgan dump her? Like, what's happening? I need to know what's happening. We have so many scenes with Kyle and we don't know what's happening. Just tell me what's happening so I can stop speculating nonsense.
I think Morgan is busy working on her whiskey still in the back barn. So
she's totally one of those, like, I'll make my own beers in the backyard, Kyle. Everybody's got to have a hobby. I'm really trying to work on the hops.
Sorry, Kyle. I'm making some moonshine right now. I'll call it back later.
Yeah.
So we see a montage of Kyle and Mauricio's greatest hits for like the 45th time this season. We get it. We've seen it. We don't care. And then Kyle's like, it really is like grieving the loss of someone who is still there. Oh. I'm like, I know. It's like, it's every time I think about Rinna, I'm like, I feel like she's dead, but I know she's alive somewhere, but she's blocked me. So I don't know. Is she alive? Is she dead? Is she dressed like a clown somewhere? Actually, yes, I think the answer to the last one. She is dressed like a clown somewhere. That's exactly the truth.
She is going to fashion shows. And the most recent article I read on her was this weekend. And it's like, look how many different wigs that Lisa Rinna wore at the fashion shows. And then it just cuts to different shots of Lisa Rinna looking crazy in different wigs. I mean, she's living her best life. You know, you go, girl.
You know what I love about her?
Who really got it together. You know?
Yeah. You know what I love about Lisa Rinna? She's not competitive with her daughters at all. Her daughters had breakthroughs as models in fashion. And Lisa Rinna, who's had a big career being famous already, was like, I'm going to do fashion too. I'm going to upstage my daughters. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it also. I'm really glad that she let her daughter brought up Rinna.
Because I'm wearing a duster today. So you're welcome, Rinna. Wow. Here it is.
Wow.
A 3/4 length sleeve. I got it from the girls section of Old Navy, because we're in that kind of a timeline now, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's go to the duster time. Let's go to the LAX LVP terminal. It's 4 a.m. Welcome to the terminal.
So this is the VIP terminal. So this is like the terminal, like, I guess this is the secret terminal that the celebrities go to, where they can just be inserted onto the planes at the last seconds. They don't have to stand around with all us normies. So they're arriving and everything to it. And they have, like, by the way, for a VIP terminal, it doesn't really feel very VIP in there. It was like you have like some like Miss Vicky's cookies and yeah, like brownie, like little bags of like what, those brownie crisps or whatever, and like some Twizzlers. It's like, welcome, celebrities of Los Angeles. We emptied out a vending machine and gave you some items.
Yeah, and it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. And I love that Garcelle complains about it. She's like, this is Sutton Strack. I thought we were going to fly private. There's going to be valet. We might even see a manly hand or two in the plane to massage us. I mean, geez, 4 in the morning with a brownie crisp.
Thanks, Sutton.
So Kyle arrives and she's like, "Are you the first one here?" And it's funny. And so, yeah, Garcelle is abhorred, aghast about the fact that there's no private eye. So then they have to fly commercial to Augusta and they do just that.
So they arrive in Augusta. And Augusta and Trixie Monocle's like, "Not a day goes by. I don't love where I come from. I wonder where I come from, America." And we're at the Augusta airport. And Avi's there. And Junebug is off a leash, which.
Yeah.
Girl.
What's going on with that?
I'm just saying that to set you off.
Thank you. You know, I love getting set off by this sort of stuff. Like, this is like my favorite. I already had a dog. Like, this is what a great episode for me. I've had a dog rant, a gun rant. And now we get to have a bonus dog rant. Look, I'm not that mad at Junebug. Junebug seems like a pretty good dog, but like, it's a public space. And also there's like doors that are opening. Like, you don't need that dog running off onto the tarmac. Okay. We've seen this happen so many times. Like, oh, flights are delayed because a dog got onto the tarmac and we already have enough issues with freaking birds, okay? So we don't need dogs. No animals.
And also, it's not going to listen to Avi. I mean, I think even the dog knows that's the assistant, you know? Because Avi's like, "Come here. You need to come here right now, little dog." And she's like, "Bye." And she just like literally just runs out the door. And the next time we see her, she's on a leash, so.
Yeah, she did wind up on a leash. And what was funny about Junebug is like she's wearing some sort of like fringe around her neck, which I thought was so funny. She's like, "Well, I'm a southern dog now."
Yeah.
I'm going to the bar later. I'm going to do some country line dancing with the other dogs.
Congratulations. You've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Catherine DiBernardo has our hardo.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
Dana C. Dana Do.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no less namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
We could all learn from Jennifer Kearns.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
Have a heck of a time with Rebecca.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's got a leg up, it's Beth Ani.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Put on a kettle for Rebecca Weddle.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hey, Hotels.com here. Struggling to keep up with your toddler?
We know a hotel that'll keep them entertained. Book family-friendly hotels with pools in the hotels.com app. Find your perfect somewhere.